Today's podcast sponsor is Blinkist. Blinkist is the only app that takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes. Not only can you read them in 15 minutes, you can also listen. I love listening to the Blinkist app when I'm working out. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for the Ordinary Vegan community. Go to Blinkist.com/ordinaryvegan to start your free 7-day trial. Hope you enjoy it as much as I do.
You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, number 53, Understanding Sugars and How They Affect Your Health. Also, why some sugar isn't vegan. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I advocate a plant-based diet for health and wellness, for a healthy planet, and for animal welfare. If you're just getting started on a plant-based diet, make sure you listen to Ordinary Vegan's number one podcast, Getting Started on a Vegan Diet. Thank you so much for being here, and I so appreciate all of you who take the time to reach out to me with your kind words. You guys are what keep me going, and I am always here to serve you and hopefully provide you with all the nutritional information you need to live a long and healthy life. Because that's my number one goal, to keep you healthy. Always remember that nothing happens by chance. If you are here today listening, you are choosing to take care of your body, help the planet, and at the same time, protect animals. And always remember, you don't have to be perfect. Before we start today, I wanted to mention the very, very sad news about former 90210 star Luke Perry. He had a stroke that resulted in death at the young age of 52. This happened last week, and I'm sending lots of compassion to Luke Perry's family because I know they must be crushed. Sadly, there has been a 44% increase in young adults hospitalized for stroke in the last decade. So it's never too early to take care of your health. And if you have the genetics for heart disease, don't water the seeds. I have no idea what caused Luke Perry's massive stroke, but it is a solemn reminder that a stroke can strike someone at any age. And don't forget, heart disease isn't just a man's disease. Heart disease is the number one killer among women. And if you haven't already, please listen to podcast number 19, Women and Heart Attacks, and podcast number 21, Eradicating Heart Disease with Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn. Now, let's talk about sugar. I have to admit that sugar has always been one of my favorite carbohydrates. When I was a child, I was so addicted to sugar that my family had to hide a box of candy on my grandmother's homemade fudge because I wouldn't stop eating it. Today, I am happy to say I have a lot more control, but I still always have some kind of sweet every day. So that's my confession. When I started researching sugar, I was overwhelmed with the amounts of information I needed to break this podcast down. It's no wonder people get confused by sugar and by ingredient lists. One of the most surprising statistics I found out is that according to the American Society for Nutrition, toddlers in America are consuming an average of 7 teaspoons of added sugar per day, which is more than the recommended amount for adult women. And it's not because parents want to give their children sugar, but often they don't know how to navigate food labels and recognize hidden added sugars in ingredients. Because food labels are confusing, and added sugar could be in a variety of things on a label, from dextrose to glucose to malt, I will put the entire list of ingredients that are hidden added sugars in this week's show notes. So what is sugar? According to Wikipedia, sugar is the generic name for sweet-tasting soluble carbohydrates, many of which are used in food. The various types of sugar are derived from different sources. Simple sugars are called monosaccharides and include glucose, fructose, and galactose. Table sugar, or granulated sugar, refers to sucrose, a class of sugar that contains glucose and fructose. Sugars are found in the tissues of most plants, but sucrose is especially concentrated in sugarcane and sugar beet, making them ideal for efficient commercial extraction to make refined sugar. The first thing I want to say about sugar is that not all sugar is vegan. I probably have mentioned this in a previous podcast, but it's worth mentioning again. Most people are very surprised to discover sugar isn't always vegan. Sugar comes from two sources, sugarcane and sugar beets. Bone char is widely used by the sugar industry as a decolorizing filter, which allows sugar to achieve its pristine white color. The bone char that is used is made from the bones of cattle from countries like Afghanistan, Argentina, India, and Pakistan. The bones are sold to traders who then sell them to the U.S. sugar industry. Supermarket brands of sugar obtain their sugar from several different refineries, making it next to impossible to know whether it has been filtered with bone char. Beet sugar is considered vegan because it is never processed with bone char. Any type of coconut sugar is also usually vegan-friendly. Also, certified U.S. Department of Agriculture organic sugar here in the U.S. cannot be filtered with bone char. I will include a link to a list of bone char-free vegan sugar companies in this week's show notes. Now let's break down sugar, and let's start with sucrose. Sucrose is simply the chemical name for sugar, a simple carbohydrate that is produced in plants. Sucrose is often called table sugar and is made up from glucose and fructose. It is extracted from sugarcane or sugar beet. The American Heart Association advises no more than 6 teaspoons of sugar per day for women and children. Men get to have 9 teaspoons. These recommendations refer to added sugars, not sugars naturally present in fruits and vegetables. The 2019 Dietary Guidelines for Americans recommends limiting calories from added sugars to no more than 10% each day. Refined sugar or granulated white sugar is all sucrose, once again made up from glucose and fructose, and the most chemically processed. To manufacture table sugar from sugarcane stalks are crushed to separate the juice from the pulp. The juice is processed and heated to crystallize and is then filtered and bleached with, as I mentioned before, possibly bone char, which results in the sugar's bright white color. Refined sugar has a bitter-sweet reputation when it comes to health. In 2017, it was discovered that over a 50-year time period, the sugar industry suppressed scientific research that linked sugar to heart disease and bladder cancer in rats. And for decades, sugar lobbyists have been taking aim at any study linking refined sugar and cancer. There is a lot of controversy about sugar and cancer, and some studies suggest that sugar can help cancer grow. And the idea of cancer cells thriving on sugar has been around since 1924 with the publication of the Warburg study. Warburg was a Nobel Prize-winning cell biologist who hypothesized that cancer growth was caused when cancer cells converted glucose into energy without using oxygen. But according to other studies, that's not how cancer works. Studies vary, however. There is some evidence that consuming large amounts of sugar is associated with an increased risk of certain cancers, including esophageal cancer. Eating too much sugar can also lead to weight gain and increase the risk of obesity and diabetes, which may increase the risk of cancer. It has also been shown that an elevated blood sugar level may contribute to the formation of cancer cells, resistance to cell death in cancer cells, and tumors becoming resistant to chemotherapy with elevated blood sugar levels. In 2018, Duke University released a study called the Cell Metabolism. The study found that certain metabolic genes become more active in liver metastasis. One group of metabolic genes stood out in particular, those involved in the metabolism of fructose. This struck the researchers because many Western diets are rich in fructose, which is found in corn syrup and all types of processed foods. The head of the study said, "When cancer cells get to the liver, they're like a kid in a candy store. They use this ample new energy supply to create building blocks for growing more cancer cells." So they recommended to their cancer patients to avoid fructose by eating natural, non-processed foods that block fructose metabolism to potentially halt the growth of cancer. Just an FYI, funding came from the National Institutes of Health and the National Science Foundation. Now, let's talk about fructose. But before we do, I want to thank this week's podcast sponsor, Blinkist. Almost none of us have the time to read everything we'd like to read, and that's where Blinkist comes in. Blinkist is an app that takes the best key takeaways and the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes. And you don't have to just read them. You can listen to them instead and multitask. They also have a great selection of books like The China Study by Dr. Campbell. Imagine learning all Dr. Campbell's incredible information in 15 minutes. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for the Ordinary Vegan community. Go to Blinkist.com/OrdinaryVegan to start your free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, Blinkist.com/OrdinaryVegan to start your free 7-day trial. Now, let's break down fructose. Fructose is another type of simple sugar that makes up 50% of table sugar, which is once again sucrose. Fructose is also added to foods in the form of high fructose corn syrup. If a product lists added sugar as one of its main ingredients on a label, you can be pretty sure it's high in fructose corn syrup. I believe I mentioned this in a previous podcast, but back in the 1980s, food processors put high fructose corn syrup in most food and drinks as a sweetener because it was much cheaper than sucrose or table sugar. High fructose ends up as fat in the liver and is now viewed as a potentially harmful ingredient. And many people believe that high fructose corn syrup led to the obesity problem here in the United States. There is also crystalline fructose, which is derived from corn, just like high fructose corn syrup. Crystalline fructose is sweeter than table sugar and can be produced from cornstarch or sucrose, but it contains fructose alone. Crystalline fructose is primarily used in low-calorie products and flavored water, sports drinks, yogurt, to name just a few. Any processed fructose in any form, including high fructose corn syrup and crystalline fructose, can be a major contributor to insulin resistance, obesity, elevated blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, arthritis, and even gout. Natural fructose, found in fruit and honey and some root vegetables, is healthy. Fruits are also loaded with fiber and take a while to eat and digest, meaning that the fructose hits the liver slowly compared to processed fructose, which hits your liver fast, especially when you drink something like a soda. So, with all the so-called healthy sweeteners flooding the market, how do we know what to choose? First and foremost, never use sweeteners like aspartame and Splendor. They are artificial substitutes and they are not real food. They are made with chemicals and should never be used. As a matter of fact, aspartame is on the EPA's list of potential carcinogens. Other sugars, like lactose, is commonly called milk sugar because it is found in milk and dairy products. Milk sugar, also known as lactose, does not have that much effect on blood sugar as table sugar. But a lack of lactase enzymes in the body means that lactose cannot be split into glucose and galactose for absorption in the bloodstream, which results in lactose intolerance. Another sugar is maltose. Maltose is also known as malt sugar because it's found in malted drinks, hard candy, and beer. Maltose is a sugar made out of two glucose molecules bound together. It contains no fructose, only glucose, and is used as a substitute for high fructose corn syrup. There are several foods that naturally contain maltose, like wheat, barley, and cornmeal. Many breakfast cereals use malted grains to add sweetness. Fruits like peaches and pears contain maltose, and sweet potatoes contain more maltose than most other foods. That's why they're called sweet potatoes. Since maltose is made up just of glucose, not fructose, it might be slightly healthier than table sugar, but I couldn't find any studies backing that up. Like any sugar, maltose could be harmful if consumed in excess. Now, let's explore sugar options that are vegan and on the healthier side. Since becoming vegan, my sweetener of choice for most of my baked goods is organic maple syrup. Maple syrup contains nutrients and antioxidants, but it is high in calories. There are 52 calories per tablespoon. But once again, it contains nutrients, vitamins, and antioxidants like calcium, iron, magnesium, potassium, and zinc. That boosts the immune system and helps to maintain heart health. Also, the sugars from maple syrup are primarily natural sucrose. Most of my baking recipes call for a quarter cup of maple syrup, which contains approximately 210 calories. And I believe it is a much healthier choice than sugar and lower in calories than honey. To sweeten my coffee or tea, I use pure stevia without any additives. Stevia is a natural sweet substitute, sugar-free, non-calorie, and made from the leaves of the stevia plant, and is considered to be 100 to 200 times sweeter than sugar. It also doesn't raise blood sugar. But beware when you're buying stevia and make sure it doesn't have any added ingredients that end in OSE. OSE is used in biochemistry to name sugars. Think glucose, sucrose, lactose, fructose, dextrose, etc. Most vegans don't eat honey, but for those of you who do, honey is an even blend of fructose and glucose. The pros is that honey is a natural food and has beneficial properties. The cons is that it is high in calories and an animal product. And it is also higher in calories than maple syrup. Coconut sugar is mostly sucrose. It is made from the sap of coconut trees and is less processed. Research says that coconut sugar has a glycemic index of about 35, ranking it as a low glycemic sweetener. Coconut sugar is made in a natural two-step process. A cut is made on the flowers of a coconut palm and the liquid sap is collected into containers. The sap is placed under heat until most of the water has evaporated. It is brown and looks very similar to raw sugar. Compared with table and brown sugars, coconut sugar has nutrients like zinc and iron, as well as antioxidants. It also contains the fiber inulin, which we have spoken about in previous podcasts. Inulin may slow glucose absorption, and it explains why coconut sugar has a lower glycemic index than regular table sugar. But being too liberal with coconut sugar isn't healthy either, because coconut sugar is very high in calories. Instead, you can combine a lower glycemic natural sweetener like stevia with lower amounts of coconut sugar. Nutrients aside, it's still mostly sugar and can create problems with your blood sugar and liver. Raw cane sugar is sucrose. It is extracted from the sugar cane plant and is not refined with bone char, so raw sugar is vegan. It is also slightly less processed than table sugar. Next is agave. Agave is more fructose than glucose. It has a low glycemic index, so it can be beneficial if someone has diabetes, but you shouldn't overdo it. Now let's talk about some new natural sweeteners that are becoming popular. The first is yacon syrup. Yacon syrup is extracted from the roots of the yacon plant, which grows natively in the Andes Mountains in South America. That is spelled Y-A-C-O-N. The juice from the roots is extracted, filtered, and evaporated in a chemical-free process that resembles the way maple syrup is made. Yacon is high in a type of fiber called fructooleosaccharides, also known as FOS, that acts as a prebiotic and helps support healthy gut bacteria. FOS is also found in asparagus, wheat, tomatoes, onions, and other fruits and vegetables. Yacon syrup scores best in the glycemic index for sweeteners that are sugar-based. Recently, yacon syrup has been touted as a sweet-tasting weight loss syrup because it may suppress the production of hormones that trigger hunger. But never go overboard. A teaspoon a day or two should be your limit. The next natural sweetener is luohanguo. That's spelled L-U-O, new word H-A-N-G-U-O. Luohanguo is a very sweet and round dried fruit typically grown in South China. It also goes by the name Buddha fruit or monk fruit. And it has recently been developed into a non-caloric sweetener to compete with other herbal sweeteners such as stevia. Luohan Guo is more than 200 times sweeter than sugar and has been used in traditional Chinese medicine for centuries. And some believe the health benefits can include reducing sore throats, alleviating coughs, and other respiratory ailments. It has a zero glycemic index, contains no calories, and is suitable for people with diabetes. The last sweetener I want to mention is called erythritol. I didn't know anything about this sweetener until I started my research. Erythritol is made by fermenting the natural sugar found in corn and is considered a non-caloric sugar alcohol. The way these molecules are structured gives them the ability to stimulate the sweet taste receptors on your tongue. Overall, erythritol appears to be safe. The one downside is sugar alcohols can cause digestive issues. Erythritol has a low glycemic index of 13 and half the calories of sugar. So now that we know all the sugar that's out there, how do we figure out if there's too much sugar in our food? If it is not the whole food, then check the label. And then check out my list in this week's show notes of all of those ingredient names that are disguised as sugar. But, of course, the very best way to avoid added sugar is to avoid all processed foods and only eat whole foods like grains, legumes, fruits, vegetables, and healthy fats like nuts and seeds. That is it for this week's podcast on all things sugar. Thanks so much for being here. I am devoted to keeping you healthy. As many of you know, I began creating my own line of CBD oil made from hemp to keep you healthy. If you're not familiar with CBD oil, it is derived from the stems and leaves of hemp plants and is currently flying off the shelves thanks to its wide range of anti-inflammatory and anti-anxiety benefits. It is also totally natural and plant-based. I chose to provide CBD oil to our community because I wanted to make sure you got the safest and most reliable CBD oil on the market. And because I believe that the phytochemicals in CBD from hemp, like CBDA and CBGA, can help optimize human health in general, no matter what your particular ailment might be. Hope my CBD oil can help you. Thanks to this week's sponsor, Blinkist, and a special thanks to all of you for listening. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.